Photo too good?
What? Mm-hmm. What photo?
I attached a photo.
Hi, Kraken.
Who's me?
Who said that? Yes, you. Hey, what's going on?
Yes, I'm done with my socials.
Thanks for coming over to my house.
Thanks for having me. It's a lovely...
You see all these lights and webcams?
Yeah.
That means we're on the internet.
It's very beautiful.
Do you think so, or are you lying to me?
I say 50-50.
Don't you dare lie to him.
Do they know what this kind of setup is? Like,
no. Okay. I don't think I've ever taken a picture of this setup before.
It's pretty fascinating, guys. As a stream master, I've been on a lot of streams in my life.
That's right. You are a stream master.
This is the first one that is quite like this. I don't feel like I'm quite in a building or outside.
Well, it's because you're in both. I'm inside.
Some beautiful mixture.
People actually say that I'm streaming from my hallway because it looks like a hallway. It's not a hallway.
It's a hallway that's also outside.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you hear like giant trucks go by, motorcycles, things like that.
You know, like all those scenes in Game of Thrones when they're like walking outside in a hallway?
Yeah.
That's where we are.
It's like an outdoor mall.
We're in an outdoor mall. It serves all the purposes of a mall.
Yes.
And it's outdoors, so...
Yeah, that's right. Lawrence, what's going on?
I think my squad stream link was broken.
Ooh. That hurts. Yeah. That one hurts.
Hey, it doesn't matter.
Did anybody watch The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but...
Okay, well, don't spoil it. We're not... Well, a lot of people can't... They haven't been able to watch it internationally. So I'm not going to spoil anything.
I mean, the safest non-spoiler thing is there's really not that much to spoil.
There is a relatively large spoiler at the end of it.
I mean,
did you finish?
There's the thing that starts the action of the season, yeah. But I wouldn't say that that's like a.
I didn't know that was going to happen. I was.
I assumed there'd be no action. I was looking forward to a nice.
When I say action,
social drama with the Mandalorian.
I was super excited about it.
I mean, me too. Sort of. I don't know. I'm in a weird spot where I'm like, I'm not, like new Star Wars. I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah, it's the same with me. I mean, I don't really care either. But
I came to a weird realization that like, I think Star Wars. I don't know. Bold claims to start off our little chat.
Yeah,
huh?
go ahead.
I mean, I think it's not that out there to say like Star Wars is a fairy tale, right? There's princesses. There's good and evil. There's knights.
Some people call it fantasy.
Magic.
Yeah. It is fantasy. Yeah.
I think there are only so many versions of a fairy tale you can tell before they stop being fairy tales, which means it stops being Star Wars. It
starts being real life.
Which is kind of the Last Jedi problem, I think. You start to violate some of the rules of your storytelling. But you can only hear the same story so many times. So I kind of think...
Can you, though? That hero story has been told over thousands of years.
I'm Marvel. With Bruce on this one.
I mean, it's true. Like, it's the hero myth.
So, yeah, you need permutations, right? But how much can you change it before it stops being Star Wars anymore? And that's kind of, like, there are certain things that have, to this point, been in on most Star Wars things. Laser swords, catchphrases. And there are things that are starting to break away from that, like... Rogue One. I think Mandalorian is another big step away, but still kind of in that setting. So I don't know. That's how to do it. It just I'm curious to see how much other ground there is to be turned up about Star Wars that hasn't already been fully.
Well, my impression was that it was going to be more about like the gritty, like underlife of Star Wars.
Yeah, that's totally what it is.
Which is what I wanted because personally, like you know, my version of Star Wars that I've enjoyed the most has always been the bounty hunting, like the you know, back streets of Nar Shaddaa, all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, I haven't seen it, so I'm not really able to talk on it. I feel like
the ending of the episode may clue into a little more of not that stuff, but the whole episode itself is like the underground. It's like him bounty hunting. It's him figuring out like how the bounty hunter world works, et cetera, et cetera. It's cool.
Well, I'm really curious to see, because like my favorite Star Wars IP, I guess that's not the way to say it. My favorite iteration of Star Wars IP is the Knights of the Old Republic series, games.
So great.
So that's interesting.
That's I've been hoping that they would touch on that. Maybe not, you know, literally remaking that, you know, timeline through Disney, but at least like borrowing from some of the influences of that world, which was so much more, I don't know,
they agree. No, yeah. And I actually really liked Rogue One because there were no Force users, except for, what's his name?
Darth Vader.
Donnie Yen.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. He was more like Force assistant.
Kind of. Sort of a Force user. Yeah. Otherwise, not really. And I really liked that. I thought it was cool that you could show that heroes in the Star Wars universe don't need the Force. That was neat.
That was very neat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, like, I don't know. I've fired this off a little bit, but I think Rogue One has some pretty interesting and kind of severe implications about the Force and how it works.
Yeah.
Namely that, like, people seem protected or guided by it until their role in whatever the Force or the plot wants is done, and then they're abandoned immediately. So Donnie Yen, like, nature conspired to not have him hit by a laser blast while he was walking across a battlefield, but the second he pulled out that lever, it's like, boom, right through his heart, and he's down.
Yeah, he had one purpose. It was like a destiny.
That was it.
That's kind of, you know. Yeah, and that's a little scary, the idea that the Force has an agenda.
A plan for him. Yeah, yeah. True. Mm.
And the second your plan is fulfilled, that's it.
It's like, so then there's no free will in Star Wars.
No, well, see, that's the thing, though. Is it free will or is it the Force?
But that's maybe what Last Jedi was getting at, right?
That's like when, as soon as I impregnate a woman, I'm going to die.
Mm.
Well, unless you have a destiny beyond that.
Oh, no.
I don't.
I already kicked it.
Oh, you've decided that.
Oh, wow. You spilled it everywhere.
Yeah, I should have. Sorry.
Oh, wow. That was fast. This is what happens sometimes when you invite Lawrence.
Good thing we're kind of outside.
He spills. So not really. It's covered with carpet, but it's just water, so it's no big deal. Lawrence is going to clean up the water, but sometimes when you invite Lawrence over, occasionally he will spill something. Mm. That's normal.
I'm a very clumsy man.
That's normal for Lawrence. He's a big guy, and sometimes he doesn't know his own strength. it's normal. It's no big deal. Oh, you know what we have? We have puppy pee pads.
Ooh.
Here, I'll get you those.
Do you have a puppy?
We foster puppies.
Ah.
It's like a nightmare.
I finally pee on the internet.
And now it's my podcast. Welcome, everyone.
Tell them
I've
about
gotten
your
rid
houses.
Of the competition.
Tell them about your houses, man.
Tell them about we started talking right before we went live. They've just left me alone with this now.
The houses. You want to...
They're houses.
Rain room.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I wanted to do really creative houses. My dream house wasn't like, I want a mansion. It was like, I want a house that has little houses inside of it for all my friends. So they never have to leave my house.
They have those.
And then also, I want a room... where instead of a shower, it's a rain room. And it's like, you walk in and it's got like an interactive LED screen on all around that would project images of a rainforest. And it would smell like a rainforest.
All right.
And the rain would be like a canopy of like just cascading rain that would...
That sounds beautiful.
Yes. You're like Walt Disney.
I am basically the reincarnation of Walt Disney,
Have you ever been to the Rainforest Cafe?
I think that would probably inspired me. I went there as a kid.
I'm sure you went there as a child.
And I was like...
And we're like, ooh, it'd be great to be shit to shower in here. I'm sure
King Walt's an apartment complex? You know, now that you say it, it does kind of check out. It is basically just a house that houses other people.
Do you want to be a property manager?
That's my calling, man. I got to go. I just figured it out.
That's another thing about this podcast. Read the chat anytime you want. Take any questions. We're chat. You're obviously on stream. So just ask us anything. And if we don't like it, we're gonna ignore you. But if we do like it, we'll answer it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kraken did win Monopoly. I keep forgetting you won Monopoly.
I did win Monopoly.
Nice job.
Thanks.
No, that was a good plan.
Yeah,
real good plan.
It was. Where was I? I was somewhere recently, where someone pitched the same idea of that show.
Yeah.
Thinking that had never been done before, and I was like,
but it's definitely been done.
Yeah, but it's
more than once. It turns out
it was a lot of fun.
That was really fun. That was a good time. And you won what, like $5,200 or something? Or did you win more than
that? It was a lot of money. It was close to $10,000. Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's so great.
I think
that's so great.
What'd you spend it on?
Probably a million Uber Eats and Postmates.
I was
my only diet.
Rainforest shower.
Oh. Yeah, no, I'm.
That's what I was hoping.
It's going to that pool.
Use my $10,000 to buy $100,000. Use that money, buy $10 million. Just go to Money Store.
Thanks for cleaning that up, Lawrence. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah,
I try to make good on my own weird shit. My favorite one of just the like, why am I allowed to be in this world? Was when I sneezed and just snapped the handle off my refrigerator.
What?
You're like the Hulk.
Kind of.
What is your refrigerator?
I mean,
it was... a chocolate or something?
No. Oh, that'd be sweet,
that'd be pretty cool,
it?
Though.
Like, literally sweet.
Yeah.
No, I was just standing, and then I was holding the handle, and then I went, whatcha? And then it just popped off. I was like, well, okay. That was
then
weird.
Then the laugh track played, and you, like, shrugged.
And you went, whoops. And that was your catchphrase.
They
all laughed. Boone keeps texting. Boone. Stop
is that
texting.
What the beeping is?
It's an emergency. Yeah,
it's... Boone was texting me about something else entirely. I don't think Boone even realizes that we're on the internet.
Yeah.
How can he not know that?
How long have you known Boone?
I've known Boone for a year. I'm actually really glad you guys became good friends.
Boone's great.
I've known him since, I want to say like...
You met Boone. You met Boone for EDF. That's right.
Oh, yeah. We played with him, but I've never met him in real life.
I met him back in like when I, what, 2013?
Okay.
And I probably knew him back in 2011, 2012.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Boone's awesome. What do you know? Can you give us anything about Boone that is bad?
Oh, yeah.
Just anything at all that you are willing to announce on the internet about.
Well, I don't know about bad, but I have good stories of when I first met him. All my internet friends, we were part of this group. We deemed ourselves called the Bad Feeling, and we were like.
Who was the bassist?
it was pretty similar to that. We all met for the first time at PAX East, I think 2013. This was also where I did my face reveal for the first time.
Whoa.
There's videos of this online of me,
face reveal.
Of me revealing my face, because I only talked or used text on the screen. I never used my actual face for until that long.
I like that. I respect that.
Yeah.
Air of mystery.
Yeah, it was a big decision.
Did you find that sorry to interrupt, I'm just curious. Did you find that the trajectory or the performance of your channel changed drastically once you added a face cam?
Not really. I didn't actually use my face cam all that much. I just hated the idea of, like, getting doxxed and, like, losing that, like, someone else taking that away from me.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just do it on my own terms, and then, like, it's not a big deal. And all of a sudden, he was going to, like, move out to Hollywood eventually and become a huge movie star. So I figured I might as well get out of the way.
And look at that, you did it.
And look at me now. I'm in the outside, inside corridor of Tomb.
It's not a hallway. It's called a balcony.
Streaming atrium.
Whatever, man.
Anyways, Boone.
Yeah. So we all decided to meet. We got, like, early days of Airbnb. We got, like, an Airbnb, and, like, everyone flew from around the country and over the, like, other countries. And we all met at this place. We had, like, I think 17 people staying in this one Airbnb, which were all, like, dysfunctional nerds that have, like, never, like, gone outside the house with, like, to live, you know, on their own. So it was this crazy time of, like, everyone meeting each other. Boone was, I think, about to enroll in the military. This was, like, a big kind of hurrah for him. And I remember since no one knew what I looked like, I, like, did separate bits for every single person that I met for the first time and pretended that, like, I wasn't who they thought I was. And, like, I think for Boone, he, like, showed up at the door and I pretended he had the wrong house and he, like, started freaking out. Like, he knocked on the door and opened, and I'm like, excuse me? And he's like, yeah, I'm here for the... He's like,
because
he didn't recognize me, and he's like, but I know everyone else, but like, who...
He didn't recognize your voice, or did you...
I think I tried to, like, put on, like, a more mature voice. Yeah. But he,
I am John Q. House Owner.
You have the wrong house. Yeah, he knew nothing was up then. For one of the people that arrived, it actually might have been him. I think we continued the bit where we brought them in, and we told them, like, oh, you must be the plumber. Like, you know, there's
that's
you
a good
know,
prank.
Something needs
a
really like, prank. Something's leaking in the basement. And we, like, lead them downstairs and all the lights are off.
Oh, shit.
And we, like, turn them on and everyone's, like, in the corner, like, fucking, like Blair Witch Project.
Ah.
And someone, like, has a fire axe we found in there, screams running at them. Like,
my gosh.
Yeah, we went all out. We definitely traumatized someone.
Good. That's good. Well, Boone hasn't done a face reveal yet.
He hasn't?
Not that, I mean, he never shows his face on stream.
Oh.
And it's, to me, in this day and age...
No, he's definitely, I mean, he's been on...
He probably has.
He's been on, like, some of my stuff.
He never wants to show his face.
Uh-huh.
And I, to a point, I was like, hey, do you ever want to do this podcast thing with us? And he was like, well, I don't have a webcam. And I was like, I'll just send you a webcam. I have one literally right there.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll send you this, you can plug it in. And he's like, well, no, I don't want it. And I was like, why not? He's like, well, I don't show my face on stream. And I was like, what are you... 10?
You know, like face rig or something. He could be a talking hamburger.
Yeah.
What's the problem
That's
with that?
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
That totally fits his brand.
We also got to be like, 2 years away from just like live
just deepfakes. Avatars? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Oh, deepfakes, yeah.
Well,
you can just deepfake as anything. But yeah, live avatar or whatever. You just have a CGI character that looks like a real person.
I just know that when Boone shows his face, there are going to be so many women that sploosh at the same time.
Yeah?
Sploosh.
He's sploosh-worthy?
That absolutely is. And and there's going to be a tidal flood.
Oh.
Maybe it's a good thing that he doesn't
female
show.
Ejaculate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's saving, ejaculate. He's saving...
Delightful.
Yes.
It's city planners a real cleanup.
Not just women. That's a good point. Not just women. Men may involuntarily come.
Juices will flow.
It'll be great.
Can't wait to deep fake myself into a sexy hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
That's the future. I'm reading the comments, man. You gotta stick with it. We're on the internet.
Looks at me. I was like, what are you talking about? Well, that's not a question.
Then people are gonna get mad the comment about the sexy hamburgers getting all the views.
Yeah, no, that's the next
Twitch
thing.
Doesn't belong to the sexy
hamburgers. Stop burying your seeds for us. You're stealing views away from the rest of us.
Your big old sesames. Put them away.
Put your pickles away.
Who's stealing views from who? What are you guys talking
about? Oh, it's the age-old debate of titty streamers.
Yeah.
That's why I wear a tank top.
Yeah.
Get those pecs out.
You can see it right there.
Get them pop.
Wow. The hair really sells.
Yeah, you're contoured. You're naturally contoured.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a permanent shadow.
It's like nature wanted you to be a titty streamer.
Have I ever told you guys a story? There was one time I was walking through Macy's. I may have told you, Lawrence. I haven't told Craig. I was walking through Macy's and saw a woman. She was probably like in her 50s. Maybe even late 40s, and she was very attractive. I was like, ooh, attractive woman, wearing a very low-cut shirt. And she walked by, and had, like, good cleavage going on.
Yeah.
And so, like, as a heterosexual man, it's almost impossible to avoid
cleavage. Your jaw hit the floor, your eyes bulged out.
It's just one of those things where, like...
Your tongue unraveled like a fruit roll-up.
As you're walking, you really have to try not to look at cleavage.
Trumpet.
Army
trombone.
I mean, hold on, we're not there yet.
Because, sorry.
Because this is where I, like, because this is what I was doing. I was about to do the awoogas and my tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got a closer look at the cleavage, and I saw, no joke, I saw probably 40 or 50 curly brown and gray hairs, dead center of that cleavage. And I was like, and I didn't know what to think, because I was very confused, like, erotically speaking. Because I was like, well, wait a minute. I was attracted to this, and then I saw the hair, and I wasn't attracted to this. Mm. And then I thought, does that happen to every woman? Does every woman grow hair in between their cleavage? Do we know that?
I don't know about that. That might also be an old lady thing.
She wasn't sometimes that old.
Sometimes your hormones settle out, and hair starts coming out.
Okay.
No, let's describe, if we can, a little round robin here.
Yeah.
Places on the female body where hair is allowed to be and doesn't interrupt your sexual arousal.
Well, as a heterosexual man.
As a heterosexual man. Neck. Back of neck.
Back of neck is fine. I don't care.
Yeah?
Doesn't matter. Arms, fine.
Forearms?
Fine.
Upper arms?
Fine.
Armpit?
We're stretching there, but I mean, she's got to be real
What
real
if it's
hot.
Light and fuzzy? Like, not wiry and coarse?
Yeah. Light and fuzzy.
Light and fuzzy's great. Oh, light and fuzzy could go everywhere. She could be coated in light.
That's so Chewbacca. A very... Well-trimmed Chewbacca.
Peach fuzz,
Chewbacca.
I think that could go too far. Like you take a picture of her and she looks like she's out of focus. That might be a little too much light and fuzz.
What do you mean? No.
Like a little rim lighting. That might be a little
much. That's not her fault. She's just hairy.
Well, wait. Hold on a minute then. So it's just dark hair? That's it?
It's the darker, thicker hair.
But it...
Yes.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, what about you, Lawrence? Where would the darker, thicker hair not be? Let's say there's darker, thicker hair all over her upper thigh. All like mine. Imagine that.
Just the front?
All over it. Surrounding the thigh, like me. Would you be all right with that?
It would be in view, wouldn't it?
I mean, yeah, especially if you're going to make love to this woman.
Well, yeah, well, sort of. Depends on the position, what have you. I'm more concerned about, like, physical contact. If, like, there's a brush and I feel, like, the breath of hair across a part of my body.
Well, you're going to feel it. I mean, you're definitely going to feel
That's why I don't get ladies who are into, like, beards and no offense, but I can't imagine.
They love, what do you mean no offense? Yeah, it's a huge beard. They love hairy men. Come on.
I don't want to go in for something and have just, like, a blast of hair hit my face.
I know.
I'm thinking about it.
All right, Craig, what about you?
I mean, I don't really feel super strongly. I feel like I generally don't prefer more hair than less.
All right.
kind of a safe assumption. That's a safe opinion.
But think about it this way. Is this because the Western world has enforced that women shouldn't have hair on their bodies?
You know, I think a lot of it's like, yeah, if I was brought up in a world where I was constantly reinforced that, you know, furry is good.
Hairy armpits are fine.
Yeah.
Hairy legs are cool.
Like, so I dispute
France
that.
France is way into that.
That's true.
Yeah.
But they're into it, but... Are women typically depicted as being very attractive and arousing while being also extremely hairy? Because even furries, aren't drawn with just like coarse hair. They have like little outlines of tufts,
you're right.
But they still look like they have skin. They're just like, they have furry patterns on them.
Well, it's like a nicer hair, like a peach fuzz, like we talked about.
Yes,
if it's just
it is.
A peach fuzz, then it's fine. But if it's like that thick, coarse, like steel wool.
Yeah.
Brillo pad.
Brillo pad.
Hair.
These are not words I want to attach with a woman.
No, I mean, Brillo I don't either. Pad. But other people may.
Well, you know, yeah. There's actually, talking of Brillo pads, there is a documentary that Chris Rock made called Good Hair about, oh. like, the difference of hair in the African-American community. It's actually really fascinating.
Oh, interesting.
How, like, yeah, the coarse, like, Brillo pad hair is just generally not seen as attractive, even within black culture. So,
Interesting. Yeah.
But I used to have a black wife, so I'm allowed to talk about it, you know.
You did. You are allowed to talk about it.
And she did not get her hair bleached because that is... That is gnarly, man. That is a war crime that people inflict upon themselves.
They what?
Bleaching hair?
Yeah, getting your hair straightened.
Oh, like if you're black.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It like that burns your scalp.
That can't be really good, right?
No. No, it smells terrible. It's just the gnarliest chemicals. Blah.
Man.
Yeah. It like burns through chicken skin. That was part of the documentary.
Chicken skin? Oh.
Or like a not breast us. Of chicken. No.
Just chickens. I was like, I don't have any chicken skin. I'm good.
It burns through human scalps, too.
Yeah.
You're just not allowed to.
I don't have any chicken skin.
Oh, yeah. Bruce, I got something for you to read.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you want to talk about Sonic first? Or you don't
wanna... Oh, we can talk about Sonic.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We have a lot of thoughts on
Sonic. Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts, too. Well, first of all, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to say the new design is worse. I think the new design is great.
It's definitely better, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a lot better than the original one. There is a lot of theories when the original one was going on that this is like a marketing stunt. Like, how would you put this out in goodwill and have plans
so
to
much
work
to
it back?
Spend for a marketing
stunt. Yeah, but like...
No way. There's no way.
It's worked. I mean, we're still talking about
but
it.
But wouldn't the trailer that we have now also land us exactly where we are just earlier?
No, I mean, no. I think we talked about it a lot more because he looked like a horrible blue monkey gremlin than now when he looks kind of like Sonic, you know?
I think if they really... That would require a masterful touch.
I agree. I don't think they are masterful. I think they did a great job...
Actually, I know they're not masterful. I'm comfortable saying that.
I think they did a great job finding the person to bring on from a Sonic community that can do the best job possible in the time they had to make.
I just read that article about the guy.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Something Whitehead?
That was like Hess.
Sonic
Hess,
Mania guy?
Something Hessier. But he just came on, and they, basically he had been like drawing comics and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, please come save it.
Yeah.
And he did. He did a great job.
Yeah.
But my question to you, gentlemen, are you going to see the film?
No, the movie still looks bad.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to.
Oh, you're going to see.
I'm going to get drunk as shit and go watch that.
Okay, it is a drink. It's a drink.
I mean, every movie is for me, but.
But you're going to see it in theaters. Like, take the time to see it in theaters. I didn't think so.
I mean, yeah,
If I had like a good group of friends to go with, and I either got like super stoned or like really drunk, or ideally both.
These are a lot of conditions for this movie to meet.
Yeah,
in order for you to go.
Drinking games for movies like this are great. You know, if it's like. If something happens and you're like, this is Uncanny Valley, and you take a drink.
You're talking about
at home, though, right? That's like, I'm saying you go to the theater. Let's say you go on a date. You go on a date. Like, you're like, hey, honey, let's go see the Sonic film on Friday night. Like, and have a nice dinner and then go see Sonic. Are you going to do that?
Yeah. Also, I think that's a great relationship test.
I mean, to see how much friction gets thrown
back at you. If your partner says, okay, and that's it, they love you.
No.
But if they're like, are you fucking kidding me? We're going to go see Sonic? And you're like, well, sweetie, this means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not going to go see fucking Sonic. And if you have to negotiate and like promise a favor in return.
That's a bad relationship.
Leave it after the movie. You should get out of it. Yeah.
And
then you don't have to like scrub the floors or whatever. You've already tricked them into go seeing Sonic with you.
I did this with chat last time, like yesterday, but again, if you intend on seeing the movie in theaters, put a yes in the chat.
Yes!
Everybody in Lawrence and my stream, put a yes in the chat.
I also have a standing blood oath to go see any video game movie.
This is what I saw. I saw mostly no's yesterday.
Mm.
There's a lot of yeses there. I saw mostly no's because...
You didn't say no, you just said say yes.
Well, I'm saying, okay, if you don't want to see the movie, say no. Say no.
Yeah,
you're not
going to
see it.
I mean, I've seen a lot of no's in my chat.
Yeah, see? Now that they know to say no, they're going to say no.
They were already saying no at the very beginning.
Yeah, it's because they were making assumptions. You got to give them clear instructions.
That's very smart.
They're not. I know this. A lot of them are just going to not... They're like, oh, I didn't say anything, so I'm just going to watch. I bet a lot of them are watching right now and they're not typing. Is that true?
That is very true, actually.
Probably because they're driving.
That's a lot of
mountain climbing.
So I see. Probably 60% no, 40% yes.
So accurate.
And what I want to say is, If you're going to see this film,
that's generous. There's a lot more nose.
There were a lot more nose. I'm going to go.
It's the starting of a new universe, Bruce.
When nobody cares. It's gonna.
After credit sequence.
I'll be surprised. Really, Knuckles?
Yeah.
Stop texting me. I'll be surprised if.
Just don't vibrate.
I know. Normally nobody texts me.
Let's make this different.
It's happening right now.
Yeah.
I'm just really interested to see who's going to go see this movie when it comes out. I don't think anybody's going to see it.
Bruce, imagine.
Okay. I think it's going to bomb.
Hold on. I'm
calling it now.
Imagine?
Yes.
Imagine a midnight showing for Sonic the Hedgehog, Bruce.
Mm. I'm imagining. They're going to have them.
Imagine the electricity in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the shirts and possibly the suits that people will be wearing.
Oh, yeah.
The murmuring. That's
the only reason I'm going to go.
The buzzing in the audience.
I would ever go to the movie is the like the equivalent of the room viewing experience of like going with a community of also drunk, you know, potentially like people in fursuits. Like, yeah. I want the internet to make a showing. And, like,
yeah.
They're going to.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be that big.
You're right. It's going to be a small subset of the internet.
It's not going to be enough to recoup all the costs of this film.
Yeah, a good old Sonic orgy in the middle of the theater.
Ooh.
During the best scenes of it.
Oh, boy,
best scenes.
Imagine that, though.
The best scenes. Like when he's on camera and he talks.
Sometime that night. I want you guys to think about
this. I'm going to think about it.
At some time during that midnight showing, during that 1 hour span, probably Eastern Seaboard, somebody will ejaculate during a showing of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, you're right.
And they'll be the first person to ever do it.
Holy shit.
Wow. They won't know they're the first person.
Do you think I could be?
Or do you think somebody in like a screening room after picture lock is already going to rub one out?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's already masturbated to Sonic, you think?
In the
studio?
Yeah. You got to be specific.
How did we just got greenlit? There is definitely someone in that process, somewhere in that pipeline of let's make this movie getting sexual gratification for making this movie.
Well, hold on.
Are working late. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We gotta change Sonic, you guys. And they finally get new Sonic in there. And they're like, hey, Brad, okay, I'll see you later. See ya. Yeah.
And then he puts on the movie. And then
he's like, he looks
knocks
so
it out.
Good.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Gotta go fast.
I bet this hasn't happened yet, which is someone hasn't been conceived during a showing of the film. So I think that I challenge our viewers that if you go to see the
make
film,
a kid.
If you go to see a film, try and conceive during the movie.
And then you're contractually obligated to name him Sonic the Hedgehog. Him or her.
Him or her.
Yeah.
That's right. Name him or her Sonic the Hedgehog. And then you can give him whatever middle name and last name you want.
Yeah.
But it has to be Sonic the Hedgehog, Kriken, Sontag.
Well, that might be shortchanging. I feel like you should do Sonic, and then you legally change your last name to the Hedgehog, just to make it clear.
Oh.
Because, like, you don't want...
Then you have to lose generations of your name, though.
Yeah, but it's worth it for Sonic.
I mean, Sonic's going to outlive us all anyway.
So. Nothing's worth it for Sonic.
As Lauren said, it's the beginning of a new universe.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I got to tell you.
Remember 2008 when you saw Iron Man? Remember that?
Mm.
Yeah, I do.
We've been waiting more than a decade for that moment.
Wouldn't you wish that your parents had conceived you at that point and named you Iron Man and then changed their last name to Man?
Tony Stark Q Marvel Green.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. See? All right, I'm glad we've arrived at our destination.
Guys, Sonic's a joke, all right? We all know Sonic's a joke. If anybody out there actually likes Sonic, unironically, you're wrong.
So here's
wrong.
Here's the thing.
That is a strong...
Yeah.
Look, I'm more on your side of the camp than not, but I have good friends that are deep, deep Sonic
They're
fans.
Wrong.
Dave!
I love Dave.
Exactly.
He's wrong.
Bruce, there was something I didn't want to tell you, but...
What is that?
I've been playing Sonic Mania lately. And first of all, I was doing it ironically to start, all right?
I bet you were.
But... Last time I played it, I actually really liked it.
You really liked it?
I actually really liked it.
How could you tell you had crossed over from ironically to unironically?
Because I started to appreciate the level design intentionally trolls your ass. And then I started to like that aspect of it. Of like, they'll put an enemy and you're like, I'll jump over the enemy. And then you jump and there are spikes just off screen that you hit.
They always
do
that.
Motherfuck!
They always do that.
Yeah, they do. And it made the process so terrible. Because I was trying to go fast, because that's what Sonic says you need to do, which I think is part of the troll.
Sonic told me. Sonic told me I have to go fast.
Running into spikes and just blasting off the edge of the screen and dying and shit. So I slowed down.
No, you can't do that. You're Sonic.
I did, though. Oh. And that actually made it fun. And then, all the little trolly shit, I was like, ah, Sonic, you got me again.
Yeah, but it sounds like you liked the video game, not the character, Sonic. Am I right?
You're correct
I'm right
there.
Because nobody likes Sonic. It's stupid.
He's so Sonic upbeat is and extreme.
Yeah, he's extreme. He's kind of quirky. He's encouraging.
He's a misfit, but he has positivity.
He's positive.
He doesn't fit in.
Yeah.
And that's why.
How does he not fit in? He has so many friends.
He does have a lot of friends.
Knuckles and Tails and Shadow.
Okay, Knuckles is not his friend. He's a means to an end. What does this song say? I don't like him, but I gotta trust him. Is that
that's what the song?
The Knuckles song.
The
words to the Knuckles.
You never heard the Knuckles rap? Here I come, rougher than Knuckles.
Yeah.
You haven't heard that?
Yeah, it's like
there's a fucking rap about Knuckles.
I wouldn't play it on stream, but it'll get copyright, so I'm not gonna do it.
I don't think it would. It's a Knuckles rap. Yeah.
We played like a really old song that I thought you can sing it.
Unlike there's Sonic, I don't chuckle. I'd rather
crack my knuckles.
Yeah, because it rhymes with knuckles.
Yeah.
There's also a remix that just replaces all the words with knuckles.
What other words rhyme with knuckle?
Chuckle. Do the knuckle chuckle. Shuffle
does rhyme.
Not, yeah.
Well, they use it in knuckle. The rap, so.
Well, buckle. Buckle. I gotta undo my buckle. Whip Sonic with my... till he chuckles.
Chuckle, knuckle, buckle.
Cuckold. I don't...
Cuckold.
Cucklewood.
Yeah. Uncle, no.
Uncle.
Suckle.
Okay. Suckle on my knuckle.
Suckle. There aren't many other words. So then I think at that point, that's the end of the Knuckles rap.
Hope my luck holds.
That's good. That's good.
Stupid enough for a Knuckles rap. So that'll work. Man, this is so... Sonic's a joke, everybody. Stop talking about Sonic. Don't waste any more brain power on it. Okay? Don't do that. Go plant a tree or something.
I just wish... I'm annoyed... Because I feel like watching the original vision of that movie in the way that I intend to, which is getting nearly blackout drunk. Yeah. Would have been such a great experience. I still treasure, and I reference this often, but there really is nothing that can replace my viewing of Jupiter Ascending. And I was hoping for something similar with Sonic the Hedgehog. And I feel like it could have flown that high if only they kept the terrible demon in. But...
So you think because they made it better, it's actually been made worse?
For me, specifically.
As an entertainment.
Because I wanted it trash.
That's actually a real possibility.
Wow, that is, you know, I could see that. I probably would have been more interested in seeing it blackout drunk if it looked like the Gremlin.
Yeah.
Than it does now, where there actually is, like...
the Gremlin.
There's, like, actual creative energy put into it. Because now I'm going to feel the artist behind it.
I'm going to fall in love with him.
Yeah, I'm going to fall in love with Sonic all over again.
All over again.
All over again? Did you ever fall in love with Sonic before? No.
No comment.
Just say no, because I know you did. Don't lie.
I'm speaking for my boy Dave here.
I'm really excited, because I've actually played very few Sonic games. But I feel like, and I often do this with like media, I'll consume in a block around a theme, like watching all Bond movies or whatever. I want to play every Sonic game, all in a row, chronologically, every last one. And I know that there's going to be some real lows in there. But I think...
It's all low. Isn't there... There's like one or two really good ones, right?
I liked
Adventure.
Adventure Battle 2 was really fun because of the Chao Garden.
Chao Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Chao Garden.
Oh my God, Bruce never played Chao Garden.
I know all about that.
Oh yeah, which faction of or alignment of Chao spoke to you the most?
Tails.
This is another character in the Sonic universe. Otherwise, swing and a miss.
I don't know. Black, blue,
pickle.
Pickle. Yeah,
the
whatever.
Pickle one.
Who cares? Dark, yeah. Some stupid dumb thing.
There you go. I have questions. So we were talking about blacking out. What was the last movie you guys went like blackout drunk to?
XXX3.
Okay.
That's a great.
And
it was fucking awesome.
What do you remember of it?
Okay. Because my memories of it are amazing. Because there's not a lot in the middle. It starts off. There's probably some prologue thing that fell completely out of my head. But then it turns out, mysterious hooded figure.
Phone did you phone. Spill water?
Nope, okay. Phone just fell. Mysterious hooded figure, he's messing with some kind of fucking thing. He's messing with a radio tower. We don't know what's going on. He starts radical biking down the mountain. Mm-hmm. I remember specifically, he wall grinds on a passing bus and then also high-fives somebody who has their arm hanging out.
Rad.
Mostly it's specific moments like that I remember. Comes down, turns out he was doing it so that the, like, whatever rural village he was in could watch a soccer game. He hooked up a little antenna for him. XXX is a man of the people. All right. Something. He gets told into some bullshit. Who knows? There's a moment way later in the film. Hold on. Donnie Yen does some cool shit. Mm-hmm. He shoots some people, backflips some people. Yeah. Right on. We're all down with that. There's a point later where I think he's like riding a motorcycle on a tidal wave. Not a joke. And then he like dives underwater and does like a Superman bike trick underwater. Triple X.
So do you know what the plot was about?
No, I think it's about a satellite. There's a part at the end where he, like, the satellite's crashing down to Earth or something, and he's flying a plane up into it. Like I'm backing a little bit. And he's like, oh, here we go. And then he, like, unbuckles, and he's running through the plane as it's, like, crashing behind
him. That's cool.
And then he just, like, base jumps out the back, and the whole thing fucking explodes.
That sounds pretty rad.
So basically those three scenes was all I remember.
But it was, like, a two-hour movie.
It was very long.
All right, I just want to make sure. Craig, what about you?
You just, like, eyes roll back in your head, and they, like, come to, and you see one thing, you're like, oh! And you just, like, pass out again.
Basically, yeah. Drooling, snoring very loudly.
What about you, Craig?
I went, so my buddy's, Tomato and Bed were visiting me, and we went with Strippin' and Dodger before they had their kid to see Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And we drank copious amounts beforehand.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good pick.
Yeah, and so we show up. We kind of stumble into our seats. right away, it's clear one of us is like, much drunker than the rest, because we're playing a game called Drinking Quest. Okay. It's like Munchkins, but with drinking. So it's like you pull a card, and it'll have a certain amount of drinks associated with it, and you've got to drink that many drinks to defeat it.
Ugh.
But you can force someone else to drink those drinks if you like. Want to
oh my
over.
Gosh, that sounds terrible. Yeah,
it's pretty rough.
I really like that.
It's a thing.
I never see movies with you guys.
Yeah,
I keep interrupting. I'm sorry.
So Tomato, unfortunately, got the worst of this. These drinks, and we sit down to watch the movie, and like about 10 minutes in, without saying a word, he kind of just gets up and like exits stage left, and we're like, oh, he's going to the bathroom, hope he's okay. And so we keep watching, like 20 minutes pass, 30 minutes pass, and he doesn't come back, and I'm like, oh, he's probably puking. I'm going to go check up on him. So I told the others, I like sneak over to where he exited, and there's just nothing there. It's just a dark corner, there's three trash cans, and a locked door. And I'm like,
where did he go?
Either he found his way out of the theater this way, or he's like in a trash can. So I go back the other way, and I'm like, I don't know, I know where he is. I exit the other way, exit stage right, and I head out into the bathroom, and I just hear in the bathroom just groaning, like the worst time. I'm like, all right, there he is. So I tell him, like, I hope you're okay. If you need anything, let me know. Like, we're gonna be in here. And he's like, all right, I'll be back in a second. He doesn't show back up for the rest of the movie. Yeah. And so we're like, hopefully he's okay. At some point, I don't know what happened. I mean, we were all just so out of it. So we leave the theater. We're like, I hope he hasn't just run into LA because we don't know how to find him. And then we just turn over. And so like, we ask the staff, like, have you seen our friend? He was very drunk and he came out of here. And they just point and look over to the other side. There's just an armchair and he's just like passed out in the armchair.
Man.
Poor guy.
You remember anything about the movie?
Oh, no. He saw the first 10 minutes, and then he...
What about you?
Oh, boy.
Do you remember anything about it?
Not... I remember occasionally seeing a character I recognized and being like, oh! and that was about it.
It's Brattletoe!
Yeah, I saw that, and I think I, like... I remember thinking, like, is this supposed to be about us? And that was the only two thoughts that went through my brain, I think, the entire time.
That's about right.
Yeah.
I went and saw the movie Your Highness.
You know, ooh,
you know that movie, Your Highness?
No.
I assumed you might know it. So, Your Highness was a movie starring Danny McBride, and it was a fantasy film about a dude that smoked a lot of weed.
Yeah.
It's that called Your Highness.
Oh, that rules a lot.
And it has Justin Theroux in it. It has like random other people in it. Like, it's got a bunch of, I think it's like Ben Stiller, maybe?
That sounds about right.
And I went super fucking stoned to that movie. Like, gone stoned. And I remember I went with the guys that I went with. We all, like, walked into our seats because we arrived late because we were stoned. And we, like, basically, like, I tripped over, I want to say, four or five people. And I'm, like, tripped and fell, like, over and over and over. And I felt terrible because I was just gone.
Well, they were probably high, too, right?
They weren't because they. So I'll tell you why.
Oh, because they got pissed.
So like they, yeah, they were like obviously bothered, and they sat down, and we all were like, you know, giggling the entire. I don't remember a thing about the movie. I literally remember nothing about it. We were all laughing, and like eventually one of the people next to me was like, "Can you guys stop?" And I remember
trying to enjoy the plot of Your Highness.
And I remember looking over, being like, bro, this movie's about weed. I was like, why can't we laugh? And eventually I just left the theater.
Well,
like, I just walked out of
how your other friends were still there?
They were still there. And I was like, I have to go home. Yeah. I'm too high.
Oh.
Yeah, so I went home. I don't remember anything about
especially after something like that happens, like someone's like just completely ruins your mood.
That was it. Well, yeah, I wasn't. Mm. I mean, it didn't even ruin my mood. It made me laugh harder.
Okay, there's two kind of different high people.
I don't because I when I'm like that way, I just laugh and laugh. And so that probably made them more angry. So I just left because I was like, I don't want to fuck it up for them, even though the movie's not good. It doesn't matter. But I left, and I don't remember how I got home. It was that bad. Yeah, I'm sure I didn't drive, but. I don't remember how I got home at all.
Jeez.
But I arrived, and I remember my friend Kevin texted me. He was like, hey, did you leave? Because he didn't even know.
He didn't know.
Yeah. I didn't tell anybody.
He keep telling jokes in empty seat. He's like, man, this is so stoic, so cool. He doesn't even respond to me anymore.
I bailed and didn't tell anybody. And then like an hour and a half later, they were like, are you still around? The movie's over. And I was like, oh, no, I'm at home. I'm gone.
Oh, that would freak me out, though. If my friend just vanished... I mean, that's literally what happened to Tomato, I guess.
Yeah. But,
like, I mean, it's just like, you feel responsible for them. You're like,
yeah, of course. You're worried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my friends were worried, but only after Your Highness was done.
Right.
Then they were worried about it. So.
God, I don't know that I could really, like, get into my own groove of just being hyper drunk or hyper high. Or both. If I feel like I'm inconveniencing or making things weird for people around me, I would just get too into my own.
Yeah, I'm too considerate about that too. That's our problem, dude. We're two good people.
That's it. We're just too pure.
Stupid.
I don't know. I feel like that got drilled into me. It's like just getting yelled at for being in the way as a kid or something.
Sense.
Yeah, I just can't like people that just like stand in open doorways or like walking in a crowded like an airport and they just stop. Just stopping right where they are and looking around. Like, I don't get that. Just find an empty thing. Like, remove yourself from the lane of traffic. I don't know.
It is one of the things that I'm always bothered by when it happens to me. And then I always think, I mean, in my worst moods, I don't think this. But in my best moods, I'm always like, well, maybe they're having a bad day. Or maybe like, because like people on the road, when they're really inconsiderate and don't realize other people are on the road, I'm like, maybe they're having a bad day. I remember once this happened to me where they weren't having a bad day. Spoiler. I was driving behind this dude who would not, I was like, wouldn't go fast at all. I was like, come on, fucking, it's Los Angeles, like, keep moving. And I'm already an aggressive driver, but he was obvious, like, people were passing him. And eventually I was like, I gotta pull up and see what this dude's doing, because I don't know what the fuck is going on. And I pull up, and no joke, he's, like, full-on got a huge pipe and, like, lighting up fucking the biggest nug.
Oh,
he's like, poof, and he's like that, like, driving. And I was like, I just looked at him.
That rules. Well, it doesn't, because that's fundamentally
like
dangerous.
Super, super illegal and dangerous. But and I was like, holy shit, dude. Everybody that I'm behind that's slow is stoned. No wonder.
Oh, see, The only explanation that I've heard is that some of them don't have insurance, or they might not be legal residents, so they ironically drive abnormally slow.
Yeah, then they draw attention to themselves.
Yeah, weird, right? Or there's like just old people.
Old people,
I don't know.
Is the thing.
Old people need to take a test every year. After like 65 or 70, take a driver's test every year.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what it should be. I think in some states they do that, actually.
Damn.
Because, I don't know. When I'm 70, I'll take a driver's test. I'll be retired. Fuck it.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Well, by 70, there'll be no reason to go outside anymore.
What am I? I'm not doing it. Yeah.
Drones will bring you everything. They'll just jack into the Ready Player One the tricks.
I mean, my strat is to never get my license, because I don't have a license.
That's right. You don't have a license. I always forget.
I get driven everywhere by my personal rideshare service.
You mean Uber?
Yeah.
It's not personal.
But, you know, one day, all right, self-driving cars, yada yada.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to sit there, and like Will Smith in that one movie, I just get to enjoy the ride.
I Am Robot?
Yeah. Did it go well with him?
Pursuit of Happiness? Oh.
In I Am Robot?
Minority Report?
What happened with him and I remember with the self-driving car?
I still haven't seen
I think it crashed.
That. You haven't seen that movie?
So I
You of all people haven't seen that movie.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because there are some movies that I've pocketed. I've just like...
Oh, for a really rainy day.
Yes, exactly. there are moments it's like...
Really rainy day.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's exactly right. The stars align, I'm perfect frame of mind, I'm perfectly drunk, got nothing to do the next day. And then, yeah, I kick something over and I turn to Stephanie with massively bloodshot eyes and scream, it's time! And then I watch, you know, one of those. Lately, I have been cracking into, like, turn of the millennium romantic comedies and action films, because they're all bad. Man, they're bad. And iRobot is definitely one of them. I need to start getting a list going of like bad movies to watch. But I can't.
iRobot's not that bad, I don't think.
Isn't it? I thought it was pretty bad.
I mean, it's not terrible. I think it's like only okay.
It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
I think it's garbage. Yeah, no, I don't think it's like bad.
I thought you were like waiting for like the first like what's it called when the robots become sentient?
Oh, and then I can prove that I'm on their side by watching the movie.
Consciousness?
Yeah, yeah. When they become the
self-aware,
sentient.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But the there's a word for it. You know this.
Transcendence.
Oh.
The
there is a term specifically.
Yes. Chat may know it. Singularity.
Singularity. That's right. Okay. So when the singularity happens. That's when you're putting on iRobot.
I'm just going to call it right now, guys.
It'll be like the lamb's blood on the door of my house.
40 years from now, you can hold me to it. We're not going to get sentient AI in our lifetime. We're not going to. I was just reading an article the other day, which I knew would happen, that they were saying that basically AI, Moore's Law is no longer applying to computers. Yeah. It's basically slowing down. Exponential progression is slowing down. And they're saying the same with AI, because everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's exponential, it's going to go on forever. It's like blah, blah, blah. And it's actually curve like the curve is flattening out, so that's why I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think
it may.
I think it will. It just won't. It won't look like Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, and I've talked a lot about this, so I apologize for repeating myself. But right now, if you're on Twitch or if you're on YouTube or if you're on the internet in general, you're working for an AI. That is your boss.
That's true.
And it has its own rules that it abides by that have been that have been put together from like. It's fine-tuned as people try to make it work, but no one controls it anymore. So there is an uncontrollable power that we've all accepted to govern us because we can't do it ourselves. It's too big for anyone.
But it's still like orchestrated by humans, and it's still the parameters of which it has to operate within is given by humans. So like, I've always had trouble like accepting the singularity as inevitability because I feel with the constructing tools that allow this AI to operate, right?
I think what the AI offers the human race will make it so the human race can't turn it off. And that's essentially the same thing, right?
Yeah, but can it then manufacture its own tools for its own end? Or because I don't know if it can.
Well, yeah, I guess you're talking about autonomy. Mm-hmm. Which, like, YouTube AI can continue doing what it does forever without additional input from human beings. So to that degree, sort of. And theoretically, people could still be earning money from it forever, but it does require the mass input of a lot of different human beings. I guess when the AI... Well, no, there are rules about the AI like learning from what's input to it and how humans behave around it. I think there's shades of that exist already. It's just they're beneficial to us, so we don't think about them.
Well, are they, though? I mean, like, a lot of people complain about YouTube algorithms and Twitter algorithms and everything else. And
better than having nothing. Like, if we were still on dig.com, that would suck.
I kind of agree on that. I think a lot of people would say that the algorithms have sort of taken over our lives.
Well, there are a lot of good ones, and there's just like...
Yeah, and there's good and bad to all of them.
Sure.
Would it be better if there were just one human being deciding what's on YouTube.com, the front page, every day?
The tastemaker. Like, the top influencer.
I want to be the tastemaker.
And then everybody would hate this. That person.
Yeah.
They would all hate that person.
Well, I mean, with any algorithm, like, someone's getting... really rewarded and someone's getting the short end of the stick. Certain systems minimize that because you never really see the other side, such as like, you know, a Spotify recommendation. It's like, they're really good at, you know, tracking all these little data points to determine what is your kind of music and feeding you things that are similar to things that you've liked before. You won't really know what the other side is like because you've never heard it before, right? So it's like, it's only a discovery system versus constantly turning on and turning off nozzles of where you're
They're changing their algorithm every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
because people keep trying
drastically too.
People keep trying to manipulate.
Yeah.
Same thing on Spotify. It's like if you're a content creator, what's funny, well, I get it, but nobody ever accepts that if what I make is getting so popular and there it's flatlining, then maybe that's the No, it's instead YouTube's not putting this in front of enough people and I'm getting hurt by the system because my thing is perfect.
It's weird you say that because So I've been to a number of those YouTube like summits, and they bring in their biggest creator. And I wasn't like I always thought I was kind of small potatoes compared to a lot of the people they brought in, because this is when I was working for Funhouse, and Funhouse only had 1.5 million subscribers in terms of YouTube, and so these people that would get up with 10 million, 20 million subscribers, whatever, and go, they say exactly that. word for word, they would get up and be like, I don't understand why no one's watching my videos on YouTube. I used to be getting hundreds of thousands, millions of views, and now I'm only getting 10,000 views a video. And they would ask somebody directly at YouTube, and I, because they would always be like, we're trying to fix it, and we're trying to help you, and, like, we got lots of tools, and blah, blah, blah. And I was always like, and then, like, so along the way, I would either Google them, or they would, like, they would basically describe what they make. And I'd be like,
oh, Minecraft Let's Play Tart 255.
I was like, I'm not sure. I think you may have reached the for that content. Because I don't think it was necessarily YouTube's fault. Sometimes it is. But for those people, they may have just reached, that's it. They didn't adapt. And instead they just kept making, like you said, Minecraft Let's Plays. Although Minecraft is back now. But, yeah. But they just kept doing it, and eventually people...
Well, the other side of that is crazy. Is that you, if you want to, and you have the, like, desire to, like, kind of fine-tune your content so it hits a bigger and bigger market, if you can punch through to all that, I think now more than ever, it's crazy that, like, you're given the information about it, exactly how popular your thing is. You don't have to shoot in the dark and hope that it's popular. Yeah. Which means that less and less, if they're going to be the biggest, or trying to be the biggest thing, less and less of what they it's Triple X3 action right there. Less and less of somebody's, like, personal creative energy goes into what they create, I feel like. Which, in some ways, is kind of like the Kojima thing with Death Stranding. It's like, when you go out of your way to make something that is very personal and very creatively unique, that kind of flies in the face of a lot of media that we see now, which is... ...and data. Oh, this is so good. To make the most mass palatable thing possible.
Yeah.
Which is a skill unto itself, don't get me wrong, but I see a lot of that.
He's got it. He figured
time,
it out.
This time
he's good.
I don't know. Your chat asked if algorithms will be shaping human culture for decades to come, and I think it already is. Yeah,
they already are.
It's shaping worldview, man. If you choose who to follow on Twitter, Twitter recommends similar people to you. That's all you see, and that's all you. Are all the ideas you think. It's the echo chamber idea, right?
Yeah.
But then people vote because of what they see and feel about the world, and then Facebook accepts money from creepy. Getting a little conspiratorial.
That's true.
This is how AI changes it. It's people that benefit from those systems tuning them, or not willing to make a stand about really bad behavior because they're in the pocket of somebody, or for whatever reason they don't want to be responsible for that decision making, and then those systems that are designed to make popular ideas come to the top, those popular ideas are sometimes good. Sometimes they're really bad, and sometimes people know how to harness that and wrap bad ideas in a container that makes them very consumable.
Mm.
And that's the AI working as intended.
Yeah, well, because it's a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a machine. It's something designed by humans. It is not sentient. So it doesn't know, oh, well, this video was actually made for, like, even though it's, like, you know, Elsa fucking Anna or whatever.
Hell yeah.
And it's like, oh, we'll put it in front of a bunch of kids. Like, that's a robot. And if it were a human, then the human would probably be like, we should take this video off of YouTube. So, that's the problem.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I just wanted you guys to know that this means you're fat. Read that.
Oh, you can't see your toes?
Read that.
Oh.
I feel like this is one of those, like, touch your elbows behind your chest tricks, but I'm going to try it. Also, can't you just have, like, rockin' tits and not be able to...
Yeah.
I mean, no, you can't, because you're fat.
I can see my toes right there.
So I can see my toes, and I'm still pretty.
Lawrence, I don't think you're fat.
I don't know. I just got back from New Orleans, man. I got a good puff going.
It says right there, if not, you are fat. So if so,
turtle-like extension of the head.
I'm just letting you know. This is according to this test in the 1930s or whatever.
But people were so skinny back then. Oh, it's on our big boob problems.
Yeah.
That's a nice subreddit for you to follow there, Bruce.
I mean, I'm sure it is.
Well, we can all empathize, can't we? Oh, I got some feet to read.
That's my... All right, yeah, let's do it.
It's time. Hell yeah, man. I'm so into that.
And Death Stranding. Have you played it yet, Kraken?
I haven't, no. I watch all my friends play it on our Discord. It seems interesting. It seems like it's just a lot to dive into.
It is.
And they've been saying it's like 10 hours before you get to, like...
It is.
You know, that the juicy
right.
stuff.
That is correct.
And I don't know if I have 10 hours put into preparing to play a game.
I did just because I wanted to. And I knew something about it. All right, I'll read it.
There you go.
Let's do it. What is this? Should I get? Is there any context to this?
No, it explains itself mostly.
All right. I'm gonna wait for Motorcycle Man to go by. This is my everyday when I cast from my hallway.
Nice night.
Later, Motorcycle Man. There are about 7 motorcycles in this complex that are that loud.
Oh, Austin, you're asking. Maybe that's something.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe that's something I can get going.
We gotta figure that shit out. Put it on whatever Libsyn.
I've done it before.
iTunes. Yeah. Or something. Okay, here we go. Hey guys, did you know that in terms of male human and female Pokemon breeding, Vaporeon or Vaporeon is the most compatible Pokemon for humans? Not only are they in the field egg group of mammals, Vaporeon are an average of 3 feet tall? Yeah, 3 feet and 3 inches tall, and 63.9 pounds. This means they're large enough to be able to handle human dicks, and with... Do you think there was a scientist?
Right, yeah, in. I was like, so far it's been like
written
pretty
by a scientist.
Pretty.
They're large enough to be able to handle human dicks, and with their impressive base stats for HP and access to acid armor, you can be rough with one. Due to their mostly water-based biology,
acid armor.
There's no doubt in my mind that an aroused Vaporeon would be incredibly wet. So wet that you could easily have sex with one for hours without getting sore. Can also learn the moves Attract, Baby Doll Eyes, Captivate, Charm, and Tail Whip, along with not having fur to hide nipples, so it would be incredibly easy for one to get you in the mood.
That's related to what we were talking about earlier.
That's true. It is.
Very topical.
With their abilities Water Absorb and Hydration, they can easily recover from fatigue with enough water. No other Pokemon comes close to this level of compatibility. Also, fun fact, you can make your Vaporeon turn white. Vaporeon is literally built for human dick. Ungodly defense stat plus high HP pool plus acid armor means it can take cock all day, all shapes and sizes, and still come back for more.
I like how friendly it was written, and then just like...
What is that from?
Oh, God. I mean, I'm assuming it's like some subreddit or...
Yeah, I think it's just...
How do you say that? Is it Vaporeon?
Vaporeon, I think, yeah.
Oh, well, Kraken would know.
Like Vapor.
Kraken's a Pokemon expert.
I actually love Pokemon. Thank you very much.
How would you say?
Well, wait. What do you mean, love Pokemon? Come on.
I love the study of Pokemon, all right? Okay. And all their forms.
Okay.
Is it Vaporeon or Vaporeon?
Vaporeon.
Is that how it is?
No, Vaporeon.
It's Vaporeon. I'm saying it right. Or else everybody will give me shit about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, Kojima.
Or this the hashtag Game Freak Lied. You have any stake in that? If you're a Pokemon expert?
Oh, I'm... No.
All right.
I really don't want to get involved. I'm like, I want to just play the game, guys. I don't really want this to become
a big
thing.
Everyone's saying it's garbage. It's like a terrible, terrible game.
Well, everyone...
Not
I mean,
everyone in this...
There's been like... people who are posting walls of text about how bad it is.
I'm just so tired of all the negativity. I just want to play a game, all right?
Yeah, why can't you just play the game and find out for yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you don't want to reward lying developers, Bruce. We got to take a stand, us gamers.
All right, I understand.
Jesus.
Rise up. We got to do it.
What else are we going to care about in this cruel world?
I don't know. Trees.
Shut up.
I tweeted
about all those already.
Pokemon, though.
Yeah, Pokemon. They're so tiny and cute.
Okay. You know, Vaporeon's probably the most likely.
Be able to handle human dick.
You go for hours.
The person who wrote that can't go for hours. What is that all about?
Lawrence, did you think Kojima said that Americans are stupid? And did you read the article?
I think I meant... I bet the YouTube fucking gossip chain really warped the headline of
what
that
What he basically said was he was getting bad reviews in America. Or there were some bad reviews in America. And the French and Italian people could better appreciate his art than Americans could because Americans love first-person shooters.
I feel like that's such you have to...
Was that the actual quote, or is that like a paraphrase?
There were parts of it that were direct. Mm-hmm. Here, I'll read it.
And there's also
translation problems.
I know that, the translation's been disputed. So here's what I think he's getting at. I'm gonna toot my own horn a little bit.
Do
I kind of called what Death Stranding was about because I think I know what Kojima's on about, which I respect to a degree. So... all right, let's roll it back even more, and this is gonna
all the way back.
Yeah, let's do it
all the way back. Once.
So most people say games should be fun, and the more fun a game is, the better it is. That's just it, right? Games should provide fun, but different people find fun in different things.
That's right.
I would say it's a fair generalization that most core gamers in the West or in the United States specifically, games that allow them to feel powerful, like it's not necessarily power fantasy because it's kind of a loaded phrase, but like. I want to start and, like, be a cool samurai or be a cool gunman. Yeah. And I want to get stronger as the game goes on. To me, that's, like, progression is the idea of fun. Being able to overcome obstacles that I couldn't before is fun. So, to some degree, getting stronger and then confronting enemies and destroying them, either in a story or in gameplay, is fun. Mm-hmm. But those things are not in Death Stranding. That's not what Death Stranding is about. Death Stranding is a game about, like, weakness and collaboration. It's about every part of the game tries to reinforce that you can't do it all on your own and you're not supposed to.
Which is cool.
Very unique. But to somebody who just wants to feel powerful, all of those things feel cumbersome. The idea that you can't carry a lot, or that you get slowed down a lot when you carry a lot. The idea that everything in the world is detrimental to you, that nature, like invisible enemies, guys that just want to like steal your cargo, all these things are annoyances if you just are focused on accomplishing the goal and feeling strong. Whereas, personally, I enjoy smartly designed games about constraint. I enjoy game design and rule sets that force a lot of very impactful decision-making. Mm-hmm. And that Death Stranding is loaded with that. It's like, when you take on your cargo, first of all, the cargo itself, like how heavy it is, the constraints about it is important, where it's going is important, then you can look at the map and see the terrain you're crossing, then you more decisions
it's,
to make.
It's like constant multitasking.
Yes.
It's constant.
Yeah.
Along the way, you're
that,
like,
that
oh,
sounds like something I'd be interested in.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some cargo over there. Do I go and pick that up? That's going to slow me down. It's going to be heavier. Is it worth trying to, you know, a lot of risk-reward trade-offs. But none of them make you feel strong. It's all like, yeah, it's just a lot of qualitative decision-making. All of it is that, and even the story is that. And I personally found something a little heartwarming about the way that you are sort of lifted up, and you do feel strong because of other players, but the game doesn't stroke your ego in that way, like a lot of Western-developed games do. They're like, you're the Commander Shepard, you're Master Chief. And everyone in the story is like, you're the guy.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah.
Exactly. Go stab and shoot all the aliens in the face, because only you can do it. Whereas Death Stranding is like, we're going to give you a lot of things you can't do, and you can do your part, and the game will give you feedback if somebody else helps you or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily think a lot of people, especially people who maybe you're in media or something like that, I don't know that there was a lot of like self-reflection of what they find fun versus what good game design is versus what the audience might find fun. So I do think it caused a bit of an injunction in like the way that critics or game reviewers talk to their audiences.
Yeah.
And I had a very, what people read is a pretentious tweet storm about that. But I do think that when Kojima's talking about, like, I think you can massively simplify that to say, people in North America, and this isn't Call of Duty. I think that's code for people in North America like to feel strong in games, and they like to feel self-empowered and self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
But Death Stranding is all about you have to accept help from others and be okay with not doing everything yourself.
Which is cool. I like those themes.
I agree with all that.
Yeah, I like those themes. I think my only problem with what you're talking about, risk-reward, is that there's no reward. That's not a reward for me at all.
Yeah.
Well, it's because we're used to the man, you know, as influencers. They're just, you know, water off the back.
Well, they're also fake,
yeah,
by the way. Like, some of them are, and some of them aren't.
You get increased abilities when you rank up on your stupid little pie chart.
Oh, from likes you do?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've been playing for 10 hours.
And all the... So in your ranking screen, particular graph.
Reward is relative. Yes,
that star.
I know reward is relative. I'm telling you that reward for me is not there.
Mm-hmm.
What I do like is like I like that the game expands on what you can use to transport. Mm-hmm. So like whether or not it's a motorcycle or a truck or like whatever else or like ladders or bridges or I think that's
it's
cool.
Like efficiency is scaling. There, but when I first heard of it, to me it was cookie clicker. Actually, it felt like you're just grinding away. I mean, again, I haven't played it, so I might be entirely wrong. But the gameplay itself sounded like, to me, like you're just grinding away to get more efficient at doing the same thing you have been doing with no super clear reward, aside from getting further in the story and understanding your context.
The likes from other players.
Well, there's
which
that.
Is, okay. Which is, that is a reward in itself, not to me.
It's a mechanical, your character does upgrade. Like, you can carry more and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You guys are right. To me, the most satisfaction I ever felt in Death Stranding was just playing cleanly or getting
being
through
optimized,
chances that were complicated and doing so in a way that demonstrated my experience and my intelligence in the game. So, like, being able to navigate through a series of BTs and never, like, trigger the oil men grabbing you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I might be getting a little spoilery here. Or, yeah, just, like, plotting a really clean path. And there is a ranking that's, like, the deviation between the path you just took versus course. So, narrowing that down, like, being able to transport things directly and quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I think you can tumble down that rabbit hole and really examine what you consider rewarding about games in general.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in life is
also
is
like
a
different player types, right? Like, I mean, you know, I learned a lot of this, and I don't be like, well, I went to game school, but like, you know, a lot of the about, you know, the different player types, and you know, some players value achievement, others value kind of exploration, others value, you know, emergent kind of narrative, or you know, a ton of different player types. So like, if you look at which one you are, and you understand that when you go into a game, you know, you'll be able to tell right away which games you like and why, and then kind of like, you know, it's helpful for you to kind of hone your own interest.
There was somebody in chat that was like, this, and I would agree with that in some aspect.
Have
because,
you finished it?
No, I was going to say, I haven't finished it, but the story is interesting to me, and Autumn and I talked about this, where both of us were just like, it would be really neat to see a two-hour movie of this, like, where I don't interact with it, and I would just, I want to, because I want Kojima to dump be like, this is what I was thinking about, and put it into a movie, because I'm not going to play 40 hours. I'm not going to. There is no way that I'm going to sit through that game and... the motorcycle. There's no way I'm going to sit through 40 hours of this game to get to the end of the story. There aren't many stories that I would watch ever 40 hours on.
Isn't that most TV series, though?
Yeah, but even then, it's like, you're not... I'm not watching a TV series to get to the end of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I'm watching a TV series because
I've
like
been
the,
doing it wrong.
I like the episodes.
Enjoy the ride? Okay.
I like the episodes. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So like most of the time, if a TV series doesn't hold my attention in terms of episodes, then I'm just gonna stop. And I usually like Lost was a very good example of a television show that was you were watching for the end.
Mm.
And I didn't. I fell off of it because I was like, no way. But a lot of people did. And when they got to the end, they were unsatisfied. And they're like, this is terrible. Why did I spend 6 years of my life doing this?
Yeah. Don't play Death Stranding for the ending.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Unless you're... is the only exception that I would put in there.
Okay.
Which is like, if you are okay with narratives that are intentionally vague and like inject some things that could be interpreted in many different ways on purpose, there's a lot of that in the ending of
Death Stranding. I thought you were going to say the words world slowly collide, like, you know, the Kingdom Hearts characters just like show up and you're like, oh,
there they
Snake!
Are. So that to me is the, I'm probably not going to finish the game. Like the only way
if you're not enjoying playing it.
I am, it's still scaling up. So I'm still enjoying those parts where like I would see a motorcycle and be like, oh, when do I get to use that? And then they're like,
and then you do, and you hit a pebble and it,
oh yeah. Well,
you
yeah,
rock it backwards and fall off.
I was like you, where I was like, fuck, I don't want to walk across and like have to figure out my packages and all this stuff. And then they're like, oh, well, you have a motorcycle now. You have a package on the motorcycle. I was like, oh. And so then I used that, and I was like, ooh. So then the more tools they give me, mm-hmm. the more I'll probably be into it. But then the story is interesting enough. There's no way I'm going to sit there for 40 hours and play that game. And I'm only playing it because I'm streaming it. Like, if I wasn't streaming that game, I wouldn't have touched it. I would have been like, nope, we're good. Like, totally fine. And that's sort of the thing that is interesting for, like, you, is that you reviewed it. So you had to play it. I guess you could have handed it off to someone else, but I don't think you would have.
No, too professional. seriously, there was that one dude for Edge who was just like, I didn't want to finish it. Come on, man.
That's
how hard is
it? Yeah, that's pretty lazy if you're a reviewer.
But the thing is, I can understand somebody feeling that way. But if you're a critic and that's your job is to get through that. For the sake of the audience, to be able to communicate to them what the like you're, I have some issues with the way people approach game reviews and game criticism, which was also part of my Twitter pop off. But anyway, put it down, man. Like it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad game. I think it's like unlike any other game you've ever played. There, that to me was the first thing that I got into it. The story along with the gameplay is like, something I've never seen before. So I was like, oh, this is cool. Like. I'm into it. After a few hours, I was like, got it. Understand. And
isn't Kojima doing movies now? I heard they're.
I'm sure he is. It's what he wants to do.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know it's what he wants to do, but I think he's. I mean, he's basically like Sony's golden child now, right? Because he, you know, was taken from. What was the whole controversy? Yeah. And then Sony's like, all right, we're going to give you a, you know, free pass to make whatever game you want. And that's Death Stranding. And now, based on how it's doing, they're probably going to be like, what else do you want to do next? And he's probably going to be like, I want to do movies, you know?
Yep. I don't know. I would really like to sit down and have a beer with Kojima and be like, what do you want to do, bud? Like,
yeah, what's up with you?
Like, do you want a fucking movie? You know, like, or does he? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean,
I know he originally did. That's where he kind of started out, was like
he loved movies.
He wanted to make movies, and then he didn't get the success he wanted, and so he kind of fell back into games and then would make games like movies. It was a very backwards way of kind of getting into the career he has, but I'd be curious if he's going to bring anything he's learned from games into it. It'd be cool.
I don't know
if there's anything transferable there.
Really?
I feel the same way. I was just curious to see what you thought of Kojima. If you're like, no, he's a movie maker.
No, he's an amazing game designer.
Okay, all right.
With a few exceptions, like Metal Gear Solid 4 is just... All of his games have very good design. They're actually good video games, as opposed to like David Cage, which is, you know, you hit your fork and then you come back. And it's just cutscenes the whole way through. Kojima has wacky-ass cutscenes, but when you play the game, there is a game there. And that's one of the things that I really respect about Death Stranding. It is a walking simulator, but it's not like Gone Home or whatever. There's actually mechanics and
well, there are.
Yeah. So, and I think Kojima's legacy is pretty unimpeachable in regards to the games he's designed. Yes, he puts 2-hour cutscenes that make no sense in them, but I think that's also him wanting to express himself creatively. And he's kind of talked about that, about how. And this was him kind of slowjacking with Nicholas Winding Refn a bit. Talked about how a lot of, like, the most powerful messages are also the most personal, and it takes a lot of like force of will to be able to push through a creative idea that hundreds of people work on and kind of keep its creative purity. and there's a kind of something like that. And something like a movie that is intended to please as many people as possible. I feel like Ubisoft is pretty good at making those. It's like, here's a mini-map filled with things. You're a gruff soldier man with your cool gun. We're going to, like, give you some doohickeys and new boots and a new scope to put on that. And then you can just, here's all these icons, because people love icons.
Man, I hate that shit.
Yeah. No, people are burning out on it, too, which is fun. Things like Breakpoint. The way that just sank like a rock was fascinating, because it followed the formula so well. But anyway, Not to speak for him or anything, not that I could, but I think Kojima just really enjoys creative expression. He enjoys putting something in the world that was never there before, just through the power of his own creativity. And I think that requires an almost scary amount of... Like if you were to make your wacky rain room. I mean, there are sadly, our art galleries that have rain rooms in them.
Your wacky rain room.
Wacky rain room.
You can sit out there and wear your little suit with a sign. Come on, Kraken's wacky rain room.
This was something I experienced a long time ago. Like, I would always have music conversations with people, and this was, like, early on, I realized this, which was, you would watch, Linkin Park's a bad example. I'm trying to think of a good example. There are countless good examples of this. I just can't think of them because they're gone. What happens, they would produce an album with a producer, like, any band would produce an album that was an amazing album with an amazing producer, and it was their debut, or it was like their second album. And everybody loved it. Oh my gosh. And then the next album would be them being like, we have decided we are no longer doing the thing that we are good at, but we are going to creatively express ourselves however we want, with no producer and nobody overlooking our process. We're going to put out an album, and it's going to be the most creative and best thing we've ever done. And it was garbage. It's because they probably didn't, They didn't go through that process alone the first time. They went through with other people that knew, hey, here's what makes good music. Here's what makes good songs. Here's what makes things that are popular. Like, and I'm not saying that popular is good, but generally speaking, if something reaches a... Usually, there's some merit to it. Usually. I would say the majority of the time, 70 to 80% of the time, if something is in the popular culture... speaking of which, all of you people that are watching, you're all in popular culture. All the shit that you love is popular culture. then it's probably good, because it's really it's reached a very large audience. And so then once they creatively express themselves without any of those things overlooking, that's it. They're done.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking Death Stranding was going to be for Kojima. Because
I was too, yeah.
He's got some crazy ideas, and when constrained within game systems that were, you know, seen as marketable or, you know, necessary, how they really shone. But with Death Stranding, you know, obviously we knew nothing about it going into it because his, you know, he was doing what he does, where his marketing is absolutely batshit.
It's wild,
you have no idea what you're getting into. And I mean, in this game, and again, I feel like I can't speak to it that much because I haven't played it myself, but it seems like they're throwing all of the kind of ingrained games need to be out the window, or a lot of them. And I don't know. I'm pretty impressed with how some people seem to be down for it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really expect that. I expect a lot of people to kind of, you know,
like throw it away.
Yeah, throw it away right away.
Well, there is also some. There's this is another thing I discovered in the music scene early on. There are a lot of people, vocal people, and majority by far, but there are some vocal people out there that are going to be really excited about telling you that something that is off the wall and crazy and that a lot of people don't like, that they love it.
Yeah.
And they're going to be very vocal about it. And
yeah.
It's like, you just don't, this is one of my favorite phrases, you just don't get it.
Yeah.
Because it makes them feel superior.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And it was, that's one of those things that, like, I saw that with people yesterday when I was streaming Death Stranding, and that Kojima remark kind of smacks of that. Just don't get it.
So I think,
kind of, but people not over, it's not mean. It's just like, you don't get it. Italians and French, they get it. Americans don't get it.
So I think you're right, but I also think people were scared before they were actually told that. Because I remember seeing on forums and stuff, people were inventing a narrative where they were going to get talked down to by media before it even happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people were like, oh, these reviewers are going to be out here telling us we're too dumb to like it, and they're going to give it 10 out of 10, and it's going to be trash. And like, people were saying this weeks before the game came out.
Interesting.
I was like, okay, well, because I think there's two sides to that. I think you listen to something like Explosion, like something that's not mass market, and you listen to it and you can, like, I feel like you already have this defense mechanism, you're like, I don't like this at all, and you already know there's some asshole out there that will, like, tell you that you're just an idiot for not liking it.
Yeah,
you can feel those things simultaneously. So I feel like Death Stranding, because it's so weird, already puts people on edge because they feel judged or feeling like it's not for them.
Yeah,
which is one of the things I tried to address in Inside Gaming's review of it. It's like, there's no judgment here, man, but you should know what you're getting into. And if it's not for you, that's cool. You know, no, I can see and understand why somebody wouldn't like this game, and that doesn't make you stupid.
Yeah.
It just means your taste doesn't align. So, yeah, it's totally okay. Yeah. And about music, about beer, about film, about food, I wish everybody would get there. Because there is always that guy who's just like, oh, you're just an idiot because you don't understand.
Yeah.
And then they put so much of their own intellect invested into liking this one thing that it almost becomes part of their personality, and then that's it gets really creepy.
It's a weird response. It's something that I don't think, I don't know that you should, if you catch yourself saying, because I mean, I thought about that, like, when I was younger, catch yourself saying you don't get it. I remember having a really stupid deep conversation about The Matrix Reloaded.
Yes.
With somebody who was like, that was a bad movie, and I was like, you didn't get it. And I remember, like, you didn't understand. There was this, and there was this, and I, like, listed off all these things. The truth was, I thought back on this conversation recently, the truth was, the movie didn't communicate it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So for me,
yeah,
if the movie didn't communicate it correctly, then it's not the greatest movie.
Yeah, if you have to make,
you know, like, that's interesting. I got it, I understood, but that's because I was probably fucking tricks. I'm like, I had read up on it, I'm like,
totally.
I was totally into it, right? But the whoever went and saw it, they weren't into that.
Yeah.
That's totally my point.
I think that's a really compassionate way of looking at, you know, media and just ways of, like, fandom in general, because I think a lot of people online are really quick to judge or quick to jump down your throat if you like something or if you don't like something, because they have their and it's very hard for them to, you know, shoe on the other foot sort of situation,
right,
like, you know, project. So yeah, I like the idea of thinking of it as, all right, this piece of media has not communicated what I love about it as well to you as it had to me. And there's a lot of reasons why that could be. Like you said, like, you did a lot of research ahead of time, or...
I did. I was Animatrix and all that shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just not... It wasn't... And it was the same with Rogue One. Like, I read the fucking prequel book before Rogue One, so I went and saw it, and I was like, oh, it's great. And a lot of people were like, I don't understand the characters. And I was like, well, what are you doing? And then I was like, oh, that's right, I read a book.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I read an entire book about those characters.
Yeah.
So I get it. I understand. So I really tried to like Death Stranding. I've really desperately been like, I'm going to try and like this game because I want to understand why people like it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad by any means.
To me, that's the only thing you can ask of somebody, to approach somebody with something with an open mind. To me, also, like, the ability to divorce set, like, appreciation of the craft versus personal enjoyment. So, well-made game, and I kind of dispute anyone who takes, like, issue with that. Whether or not you like it.
I think it is.
Man,
yeah.
That is...
I would agree. Yeah.
Something can be well-made, and you just don't like it.
Yeah, that's true.
Totally fine.
It was like Tool. A lot of people didn't like it. Tool's an amazing band. Never liked them. I know they're a great band, but...
I think I've heard only one Tool song in my life.
Tool's in a...
Which makes no sense for me, because I feel like I would probably like it.
They're probably... just not for me.
No Dream Theater.
I like Dream Theater.
Hell yeah, man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No,
Dream Hell Theater. Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that I... Yeah, dude, Tool, fucking rad. fucking rad. But it's not... Like, everyone's like, new Tool album, you listen to it? And I was like, nope. I don't care. They're great.
Struggle to figure out about myself is when I'm around or in the middle of some artistic work that, like, I just can't stand. Like, I can't even get to that point of, like, yeah, this is fine, but not for me. I just, like, it just offends me. And not because it's saying anything. Maybe it's just because there's some aspect of its creation that speaks about the creator's conviction about the world that but I don't know, man. I've tried to explore this a lot. That's what I would feel like is the closest to genuine prejudice, at least on my part.
Yeah.
A lot of musicals I listen to and I'm like,
oh, you're biased
this
against it.
Fucking sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I just don't like it. And I've tried to isolate it. Just like, yeah. I think the compositions are often not great. They're very simple. There's no percussion, and I love percussion. The songwriting is all... say out loud exactly what they're feeling at any given point in
they
time
do.
Because there's no other way you're going to be able to interpret the story through song unless somebody's just saying, I'm sad because I'm dying. I don't know.
For me, what gets me a lot is like when I feel like I can see into the writer's room with every scene that's coming, that is what usually sets me off. Like, I cannot enjoy something if I see so clearly who they're writing it for. Feel the manipulation almost, you know,
sense.
It's like, you know, like American Sniper falls into this for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like so clear on what it's trying to get across and the message and the tone and the goal of it. And every step of it, I feel like I'm being like walked, you know, like a horse led to water. It's like, you will feel this way now, go. And I'm just like, nah, dude, I'm going to make my own.
You're right about that's a, it's interesting because like there are some movies and actually games and anything else that's art that are made, but they still get you there, even though, like, you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
24 is a good example of that television show that I loved, but I knew what it was. And I knew what would happen every episode. Like, I knew that Jack wasn't going to die, and I knew that, like, you know, like, the characters were going to make it, and the bomb stuff. But, that said, it was still a well-made show, so it still elicited the emotions that it was supposed to elicit from me, even though I knew it was coming. And it takes a lot of... I guess it takes a lot of conscious thought to divorce yourself of the fact that you know what's coming, but you still just want it to happen. So usually I just turn myself off and be like, I'm not going to think about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I instead will let the content hit me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just let it wash over me. And so I've gotten better at that as time has gone on. It's not that I even turn my brain off. I just don't think about it as a creator. Mm. I instead think about it as
that's
what's
so
happening.
Hard.
It's hard.
I don't know if I can do that that easily.
It's hard. Well, no,
in general.
It took years of practice. Like, actually do. I had to sit down and be like, I'm not going to think about... And, like, people, I would see this after every Game of Thrones episode or whatever else. They would always be like, oh my gosh, did you see what happened? Did you see, like, what's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to do this? Are they going to do this? And I'd be like, I don't know. I don't want to think about it. And then I'd walk away because I didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I know. Like, we had different opinions about the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, probably.
Cannot remove myself from
the
world and the decision making of all the characters because I felt like
you knew where it was going.
Yeah. And or I was a part of it in some way or I wanted to be as immersed as I could versus you're just kinda like, I'm gonna let it happen and then by the end I was that way.
Yeah.
I think the final, you know, latter half of the final season I was like,
whatever.
I'm not gonna be able to, I'm just gonna have to smile and nod.
Yep. Joe Fudge is right. Enjoy the ride.
Oh, so we actually, funny story about Joe Fudge. We have in my Discord a we had a whole channel set aside for Game of Thrones discourse in the last season, and every week everyone watched the episode. As soon as it was over, that channel was like memes and like just hot takes and like just people tearing at each other. And Joe was like, he's a good friend of mine, another streamer. He's like the stalwart defender of like specific things that no one agreed with him on. And he he would not move an inch, and he would just start these giant just flame things back and forth. Yeah, it got pretty heated. It got to the point where people like left the channel. They're like, I can't think of Joe in a good way anymore.
Joe's an intelligent man.
Yeah, they just had to completely step aside from it. So I appreciate his dedication. There were definitely times in which he was wrong, but I'm going to let it slide because he doesn't have a mic here to defend himself.
Well, there were other times that you were wrong.
No, not possible.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Mike was never wrong. Mike is the Martin Scorsese of Game of Thrones.
Yes, no, my opinions are right.
Martin Scorsese. What Martin Scorsese says is cinema, everybody.
Yeah.
I want you to know that right now. He is the arbiter of cinema, all right? Everybody's aware. I just wanted to put it out there right now.
He decided it.
He decided it, and therefore it is.
Well, that's... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
On that point, I used to stream, there's a game, Sims-esque game. It's actually...
Will Wright did that.
Really, yeah, it's really well made. And I streamed that a while back, and I made a... You can do, like, a lot of really cool customization of movies in that. And I made a... I decided to stream it because I went to a film school, right? So I can't be wrong about any opinion.
That's
of film,
right.
Because
nobody else has gone to film school.
No one else has.
They shut it down the second you walked out.
I was the last. I didn't actually graduate. But
Craig, oh, you didn't graduate.
I didn't actually graduate. But that's because it ended before I could. You know, so I'm technically the only film man out there. That's so if you want, you know, opinion on what's good or not, you know who to reach.
XXX3.
Yeah, XXX3.
Yay.
I haven't seen it based on the name. I'm going to give it a yay.
Yeah.
Oh right. Wow. Okay. All right. It comes from the film man himself.
Yeah.
Kraken.
Can't argue with that.
We have reached an hour and a half. I think that's good. I think we got it.
I think we got it. I think we figured out art.
This is one of those things.
We solved art. Yeah.
Lawrence and I have talked about this. We solved art. But we could go forever on this stuff. And it's like 8:50 here. So it's like we should probably get home. And I haven't eaten dinner yet. But one of these times we'll actually like make this thing longer, and we'll actually like we'll drink and stuff.
Jeez.
And then get super wasted. I'd like to drink. Yell out my window and stuff like that. It'd be fun.
Damn, I can't wait.
Anyways, yeah. Well, thank you for watching on YouTube. Bye, YouTube.
Bye, YouTube.
See you later.